ignite the fire of learning wherever you are. Join Gonzaga University faculty and leading experts on Zagcast, a podcast series exploring fascinating topics in leadership, sports management, nursing, business, and more. Deepen your understanding and advance your career with Gonzaga's online graduate programs. Learn more and get started at online.gonzaga.edu. Gonzaga University, where knowledge ignites your passion.
Hi, my name is Britt, and this is the MBUS 699 Negotiations Podcast. I'm your host, and we will be speaking with your faculty, Ken.
Great to be here, Britt. Thank you.
Our first podcast will be Module 1.1.
Thanks, Britt. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so we just will be talking about a few questions, having a good conversation about the vocab of negotiations, which I'm unfamiliar with, so let's get started.
Okay.
Why is knowing and understanding the vocabulary of negotiations important?
Well, think about your daily life, and depending upon your circumstances, it's extremely possible that from the time you wake up in the morning till the time you go to bed at night, you are continually negotiating. Think of a very common occurrence. Britt, what do you want for dinner tonight?
We talk about that a lot at home.
Yeah, you talk about that alone. And you might have an idea, and your partner might have an idea, and you go back and forth. If you have children, you're negotiating all the time.
Yeah, negotiating not to have mac and cheese every night.
Mac and cheese, okay, that's good. Or to have certain types of sweets all the time.
Ice cream?
Ice cream, that's a good one. And then you think about, of course, in an organization, whether you're a student or an employee or a manager or a leader, you're continually negotiating with your coworkers. Sometimes you're negotiating one-off things like a job offer or a promotion. And then you have those special circumstances outside of home and work. You go buy a car, you go buy a house, right? So negotiation is a very, very, very elemental part of our life, and knowing and understanding a little bit about it can make your life better.
I'm excited to be here then. Maybe I'll win those negotiations more often. What is a good definition of negotiations?
A good definition of negotiations probably has a couple of components. One of them is multiple parties. Now, it could be one-on-one, like you and I sitting here, or it could be a team situation. Think of a classic traditional union management relationship where there are a team of union negotiators and there are a team of company negotiators, right? So multiple parties, and usually they can't accomplish what they want to accomplish without the other party. Mm-hmm. Now, there may be a contractual mandate, again, in a union situation. There may be kind of a social contract. There may be an expectation in the relationship. But generally speaking, if I could do it myself and not create any drama, I'd go do it. But I can't do it by myself. I need you, Britt. Mm-hmm. And so we have to have that exchange.
Great. What are terms associated with types of negotiations?
Okay, there's all sorts of terms in negotiations. It's very vocabulary laden, as you alluded to at the beginning. I think one set of terms has to do with the various types of negotiations. So generally speaking, there would be three types of negotiations. Some of these are pretty old school. So the first one is what they call distributive bargaining. Hmm. Okay. And distributive bargaining, also known as win-lose.
Oh, that right? Sounds bad.
It sounds kind of scary. The reason it's referred to as win-lose is because there is usually a finite amount of resources in play. So the other thing that's great about negotiations, tons of food metaphors.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. Yeah. So we always, at this point, we talk about a pie.
Okay.
Okay. Going back to desserts and kids, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So with the pie in a distributive situation, there's only one pie. You can't get two pies. You can't bring in ice cream to go with the pie. All you got is the pie. And so if you get 2/3 of the pie, that leaves 1/3 for me.
Lose.
Okay.
Win.
Lose.
Okay.
Exactly. So again, some people think that's really old school. If mm-hmm. you go back to the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and think about classic union negotiations, they would be described as distributive sorts of bargaining.
Okay.
The second one is what they call integrative bargaining. Win-win. Okay. The idea with win-win is there's infinite resources. So we've got the pie in front of you, but you have the ability to bring in another pie.
Yes.
Or I have the ability to bring in the ice cream.
Okay.
Right? And so we can put things together. We can take things apart. We can think about when you go buy a car in 2024, all the different things you negotiate. Price of the car, the down payment, service options, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you might say, well, I can have this level of price if I can do this type of down payment and that type of interest rate, and you put together this package because there's multiple resources that you can use to get to an outcome that you like. So distributive, win-lose, integrative, win-win, distributive, finite resources, integrative, thought to be relatively infinite resources.
Okay.
The third type is what they call interest-based bargaining. So here's an example from a class I taught many, many years ago. Okay. We were talking about the different styles of negotiation, and I had a student raise his hand. He says, I've got a great example. He says, I work full-time. I go to class on my MBA. I'm involved in this, that, and the other thing, and I'm taking flying lessons.
Whew.
Okay. So I came home one night, and I said to my partner, I need to schedule one of my lessons. How about Monday at 10? No. How about Tuesday at 6? Doesn't work. How about Wednesday at 7? Not going to happen. And so no matter what alternative or option I put in front of her, she said no. So the key was for us to continue to talk and for me to listen. And as we did that, what I discovered was she really didn't care when my lesson was. She wanted more time with me.
Ah.
And so once we identified that interest that she had, that, you know, think of an iceberg, was kind of below the surface. It really wasn't what we thought we were negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were negotiating when I was going to take a flying lesson. She wanted to negotiate time we spend together. So then we built in things like date nights, you know, time alone after the kids go to bed, et cetera, and all was good. So interests, not necessarily inconsistent with integrative or distributive, but almost a different approach where we're going to have way more conversation. I'm going to do way more listening, hopefully way more sharing, and then we get to an agreement that works for both of us.
So with those three types, I'm curious why anyone would use type one if they can avoid it.
And I think that is the sense of the world in 2024.
Okay.
That we've seen this evolution over time from distributive to a more of a focus on integrative,
mm-hmm.
and more of an interest and interest-based negotiation. But there still may be times, perhaps you're under pressure from your organization, perhaps you're under pressure from other stakeholders like the public in a public sector situation. And so it's, hey, we've got to get the best deal possible, and it's going to be win-lose.
Okay, good to know. How about negotiation styles or tactics?
The range or the number of things that happen or can be used in negotiations, it's limitless. For example, we could talk a lot about time. Okay, and we all see that. You watch TV, and depending on what shows you watch, Brett, I mean, you're gonna get, you know, call now, this offer goes away in 2 hours.
Infomercials.
Right.
I usually avoid those.
Yeah. So they're trying to say, well, I got to act or it's going to go away. The stereotypical salesperson with, my boss went to lunch, and when she comes back, I can't make this deal. So let's make this deal right now. So people introducing time as a constraint. Here's another great one that I tell folks. Silence. Go home tonight. And if someone says to you, what do you want to have for dinner? Don't say anything.
Stare deeply into their eyes silently.
You know, or even better, if they offer an option. How about pizza? Don't say anything. They will end up negotiating with themselves. They will go pizza, and then you'll be quiet, and then they'll go Chinese. And then you'd be quiet, and then there'll be a third option. We, particularly in the West, are very uncomfortable with silence, and we interpret it as disagreement or unhappiness. So we will negotiate with ourselves. So that's another basic tactic.
That is a pro move.
That you see. To the point where in the process of negotiations, particularly if it's an involved one that requires a little bit of back and forth, you make an offer, I counter offer, et cetera, you should always keep track of the cadence of offers. Never want to make two offers in a row. Usually, you want to, if you make, let's call it a slight increase in your offer, I want to make a slight increase in my offer. I don't want to go big to your small, because you're going to catch on to that and go, boom, let's settle this right now. Because you just came in $10,000 and I only came in $2,000 and now you're ahead. So keeping track of things is something, but time, here's another one. And if you grew up with siblings.
I did. I have a twin and a younger brother.
Okay. So, with your younger brother, how about this? You might have done something at some point that,
never.
You know, might have been a little bit controversial, and your younger brother wants something from you.
Ooh, holding it over my head.
Britt, I'm going to tell Mom.
Ooh.
And so that's always, in the workplace in particular, hey, we can settle this now, or we can take it upstairs.
Ooh.
So that's a tactic as well.
What is that one called? Leverage?
Leverage, taking it upstairs.
Threats.
Yeah. And if you don't do it the right way, it becomes seen as a threat, and then maybe damages the relationship, which is always something you have to take into account when you negotiate. Is this a one-off? Or am I going to have to negotiate again with this individual? And so generally speaking, the dynamics of negotiation in a family situation or in an organizational situation are different than the dynamics of buying a car. Mm-hmm. Because you may never see that salesperson again.
I hope not, because that would mean my car needs replacing. Yeah. No, that's amazing. Anything else you want to add about styles and tactics?
No, I think that kind of covers the main ones for now.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That ends the conversation about vocabulary of negotiations. Thanks for talking with me, Ken.
Thanks, Britt. Looking forward to more.